This is a violent and often disturbing tale. You have been warned. Ethan Eternal, Chapter 16, The Prisoners. Deborah leaned against the filth, saturating the icy window. Her left eye pressed firmly against the pale glass, and a gentle tear ran down onto her neck. The hum of the car's engine lulled her into a dreary trance. The world was too horrible to be real. There was no love or joy left to find here. She would wait until these men were done with her, and then, well, what difference did it make now? In the back seat of another police car, Kevin sat uncomfortably. He could see Deborah slumped over the back seat of the car ahead. The drive was slow, and he had quite a while to watch her. His heart was broken now, but even beyond all of his loss, for his sister-in-law, perhaps more his true sister at heart, had been broken far worse than he had ever been. "Please just ask him." Kevin had been begging for the policeman to contact the driver of the car ahead. To this point, there had been no great willingness to oblige. Captain Hamilton sat in the passenger seat. His body was turned around to look towards his prisoner. This was not a sympathetic kind of man, 99% of the time. But after hearing Kevin's cracking voice ask for this more than a few times, perhaps something in the captain was softening. He picked up the radio handset and turned around towards the road ahead.
"Sean, how's she doing?"
There was a pause that lasted several seconds, and then a reluctant response.
"Sir, she ain't doing too good. It doesn't look like she's gonna die or anything. I'm keeping an eye on her, though."
Hamilton nodded to himself.
"All right. We're almost there anyhow. Over."
He set the radio down and turned his head around to look towards Kevin and nodded slightly. This was the most respect that had been shown to him thus far. Kevin did not think it would last. He thought about asking if his handcuffs could be loosened, but decided not to press his luck. Apparently, from the radio conversation, they were almost to their destination anyway.
"She didn't do anything,"
Kevin muttered lowly. But there was so little emotion left in him that he was not able to summon any attempt at outrage at her capture. He did not even sound upset as he said this. There simply was nothing left inside him to convert into an attempt at conviction. Yet he spoke nonetheless. Without looking back, Hamilton replied sharply,
"Hostage, eh? Is that what's gonna be, son? You've been sitting back there for half an hour, and that's the best you can cook up? Work on it some more."
Kevin found a little conviction, after all.
"I didn't do anything either."
For this, the captain did turn around. He even grinned slightly.
"Keep your pants on, Mr. Hill. We're going to have plenty of time for bullshit when we get to the jailhouse. I can promise you that."
There was nothing left to say. The caravan of patrol cars ambled down a dusty country road towards the outskirts of a city owned by an unseen lord. Kevin wondered if the jail these men were taking him to was in fact owned by Ethan Dorian as well. Did they even know who their master was? Time would tell.
"Not his friend. Not his friend."
Colt sniffed the bloody corpse and stared into its empty eyes. The man was dead, but had not been dead for long. This was not his friend. He barked fiercely at this realization and exhaled a heavy sigh of relief. He would only take a moment to do this, but his nerves demanded it, and he would need them now. The German Shepherd turned away from the dead assassin and gazed down the old lake road towards the stream of dust trailing two older cars and a very large armored van that was now hurriedly retreating. Colt took in a deep breath and steadied himself. He focused his thoughts, set aside his fear, his doubt, even the strange and troubling dream he had only just experienced. His friend was with those bad men, and Perry needed him. Forward, moving with a constant rhythm, his legs moved forward. There was no way to know how long he would need his strength. There was no way to know where this path would lead, or where it would end. He only knew that he would not rest until he had found his friend. He was a good dog, and he would prove it. He was not weak. He was not afraid. He would save the man called Perry. He would not let him down. An image of his mother flashed. Her memory had been amplified by the experience of that odd dream. He saw her lying in the pit, helpless and afraid. His legs pushed harder. His heart pumped faster. He had not forgotten the day she died. He remembered it had been different that day than the dream had been. But the nightmare seemed so real, so potent in his thoughts. He would use this. He knew he had to. Perry awoke. He slid across a metallic floor and then slid back the opposite direction, striking the inner wall of an armored van. He screamed in agony as his wounded shoulder smacked against steel. Someone heard this and cackled in the cabin in front of him. The ranger braced himself against the side wall and raised his head to take a look at his surroundings. The interior of the van was almost completely silver. This chrome decor was broken only by the illumination of the sun. An orange light burned through a mesh of steel covering a window above him, illuminating the entire environment. Perry saw that the back of the van was enclosed inside a cage. He was trapped like an animal on his way to execution, and this seemed to be a plausible metaphor. He studied everything around him. There was no way out.
"Good morning, Bright Eyes!"
A hideous voice arose. It was the same that had cackled like a hyena moments ago. Perry recognized it from the ambush. It was the big guy he wounded in the leg. Miles continued.
"I know I shouldn't drive so fast, Mr. Police Ranger, sir, but I just can't help it."
Pulling the wheels sharply, the van's path curved to the left, and a huge plume of dust exploded into the air as gravel and dirt gave way to the firm grip of asphalt. Miles laughed again as he straightened the steering wheel and pushed the giant van down a new stretch of highway.
"I hope you didn't hurt yourself back there. There was a lot of bumps in that old road. You really shouldn't wander out into areas that have been closed off. You never know what you'll find in condemned places, Mr. Ranger."
Perry shook his head, further clearing the fog that lingered there. This maniac was obviously out of his mind.
"Why the hell didn't you kill me?"
Perry questioned lowly.
"Oh! We will, Mr. Police Ranger. We will."
A voice echoed through the van from a radio sitting beside the large, blonde killer.
"Slow down."
It was a calm and chilling tone that Perry did not recognize. Miles clearly did, though, as he began to laugh once more. He shrieked like a child, and then picked up his radio.
Who is this? It can't be Carlos. Carlos told me he was going silent. He didn't answer me when I was being shot at. Why would he now?
This was terribly amusing to him for some reason. He giggled under his breath for a long moment, and then the radio beeped as the cool voice returned.
Slow down, or I'm going to kill you, Miles.
Perry expected another torrent of laughter, but Miles apparently had lost his sense of humor. He screamed angrily and threw the radio down onto the floorboard. This was more anger than he had intended to express.
Damn it! The large creep whispered almost silently. His foot relaxed on the pedal, and the van began to slow.
Miles appeared somewhat distressed at the loss of his radio, but even more at the threat placed by Carlos. Perry wondered for a moment what this meant about the hierarchy between these thugs, but didn't dwell too deeply on it. He was just glad to be slowing down. Miles glanced down from the road to the floorboard. The radio was too far to reach. This was upsetting. He did not like to lose control of anything, and this was something he was going to need. He leaned over, glanced down and then up, stretched his arm out, and touched the edge of the plastic box. Suddenly, two cars, designed sometime in the 80s, shot by the van on either side and overtook it. Miles screamed again, but this time only fear poured out of him. The radio beeped as it had before, and a new voice came forth.
Miles, get your ass to the church. Cops just picked up the other two.
The new fear transformed into old hate as the large man yelled at full volume towards his windshield and grasped the wheel with white knuckles.
Son of a bitch! Fuck you, Vicente!
He was shouting at no one, though. The two cars were moving so fast that they quickly vanished ahead as the road curved towards town. Perry knew who the voice must have been referring to. His eyes steeled. There was not much time. He was going to have to think of something quickly. Deborah sat down onto a cheap padded office chair. She felt drained of all her senses. Her eyes blurred from the tears that continued to fall downward. A female officer leaned down and said something to her, but she did not recognize the noise as words. There was no reason to. All of her pain and regret bubbled through the creases of her mind. There would be no resolution to the death of her sister, to the loss of her nephew, or justice for anyone. In her thoughts, she had come to a horrifying, yet somehow liberating resolve. She had let go of hope, abandoned the fight to fix the world around her. The frailty of her sanity had been an issue before. There were other times when her life seemed like an old and fragile book, an archive with withered pages, its ancient paper clinging to the brittle edges of a past she was trying to forget, yet needed to survive. Before, she had sought to abandon this heavy burden and give into the temptation to let this world vanish from all recognition. Her sister had always been there. Amanda had been her strength and reason. All those years ago, those long and horrible years, when they were children and had cried themselves to sleep while some new man beat their mother, a different man every 6 months or so, beat her. Amanda would hold Deborah and tell her it would be okay. She would keep her safe. She always had. Deborah knew now that it would never be okay again. Kevin glanced through the office window to his sister in the other room. A young officer closed the blinds as he met her eyes. She was lost. They both were. Captain Hamilton stood behind a large yet cheaply manufactured aluminum desk. It was covered with hundreds of documents, most of which seemed to be related to Kevin and the recent news coverage of all the events that had transpired over the past month. Kevin glanced them over. Through the stains of coffee mugs and cigarette ashes, he was able to read a few of the headlines. The papers had been fed a story that could not have been more wrong. Yet, even he had to admit, it was far more believable than the truth. Hamilton lit a cigarette and slid open a large window. There was no screen on the other side, but there were about a dozen iron bars. He blew a plume of white smoke out onto the street and turned towards his prisoner. He caught his own reflection in the glare from Hamilton's police-issue sunglasses. Kevin expected to see that grin on the captain's face as well, but was surprised to find an odd hesitation in his expression. There had not been much evidence to support his theory thus far, but Hamilton was giving Kevin the impression that he might not be as stupid as he was letting on. Maybe there was something going on behind those smoky sunglasses, after all. "Isn't it illegal to smoke in public buildings?" Kevin asked with a dull wit. Hamilton seemed to get the joke, but was not in the mood to play around. He answered with a cool and deliberate tone.
"I suppose so, Mr. Hill. But this is my office, and I pretty much live here. I should thank you for that, actually. I saved a lot of money on my utility bills at home this month. Barely even remember what the place looks like. But then I guess I spent a bit more than that on all the damn cigarettes and coffee, so maybe we should cut the bullshit before we wade any deeper in, eh?"
"Fair enough," Kevin answered calmly. Hamilton sat down in a squeaky office chair and began rocking back and forth very slowly as he spoke with a welcoming voice that only faintly hid years of suppressed anger and venom.
"As you can see, Mr. Hill, I have been very interested in your story. I think I have read every paper, watched every news report, heard every radio program about your life, and talked with just about everyone that ever knew you. I've become a bit of a student, like one of your students might have been back at the college you were working at. I talked to most of them as well. Not too many of them had you figured out before you snapped."
Kevin's brow tightened. He had not given much thought to his work since all of this had begun. Normally, he would be preparing for his fall semester right now. He would have already typed out a few lectures, and might have even taught a few classes for some of his other professors, who had been unlucky enough to draw the short straws known as summer classes. Hamilton continued,
"I've gone over this, over and over, and I have to say, for a college professor, you sure ain't too bright. I mean, you would have to be some kind of idiot to think that you wouldn't get caught, which is why I pegged you for a nut. At least I'm betting you're going to try that in court anyway. But hey, what do I know?"
Kevin exhaled. "You're wrong." The captain smiled slyly.
"Wrong? What am I wrong about, Mr. Hill? I haven't even told you what I think. At least give me a chance to lay it out there. I tell you what, let's start this over."
Hamilton leaned over his desk, as though intrigued by Kevin's reactions to whatever he was about to say next. Kevin sat in his chair motionlessly.
"Let's make a deal."
One of Kevin's eyebrows rose. "A deal?"
"Ah, see? I knew that would get your attention. Not a big kind of deal. Fuck you on that. You aren't getting shit out of the district attorney. No, this is just between us."
Kevin was amused. "Well, what kind of deal, then?" The captain took in a long drag from his cigarette and then extinguished it onto one of the newspapers. He almost choked on the smoke as he eagerly started to explain.
"Okay, how about this? I'm going to tell you what I think happened, and I mean everything. And if I get it right, then you have to tell me. I don't care about a confession or this or that being admissible. I just want to know if I had this thing worked out. Your life has turned into something of a hobby for me, and, well, I just have to know, you know? Kevin was surprised by the frankness of the captain. It was almost admirable. He thought for a moment before he answered. So, you are going to tell me what has been happening in my life for the past month. You want me to admit to you that I have committed what I'm sure will be a laundry list of crimes, and you don't want to use it in court? The young officer standing behind Kevin laughed a little. It was a sardonic kind of cackle, more of an idiot's amusement. Hamilton noted it with his eyes, but did not pause.
Honestly, Mr. Hill, we have more than enough to send you to the death chamber in Huntsville. I'm not even concerned about that. You see all these papers? Guess how many of them give you the benefit of the doubt? No. I don't reckon I need a confession from you. Hell, the public wants a trial anyway. Even if you offered me one, well, shit. I ain't stupid. I'd write it up if you laid one in my lap, but since that's not gonna happen, well, why not just satisfy my own curiosity?
Kevin thought on this for a moment, and then solemnly replied,
You're not gonna win this, you know.
Hamilton's smile widened. His teeth were mostly white, with a few specks of something in them that could have been tobacco or perhaps coffee grounds. Either would have explained the nervous tick in the captain's left eye and this less than rational mindset. Even so, Hamilton pressed on.
Sounds like you're interested, though, right? I mean, maybe I know more than you think I do. Maybe I'll surprise you.
You said this was a deal. What's in it for me?
Ah, he answered with interest. Well, if I'm wrong, then you have to tell me. You gotta fill me in on the truth, you know? And in return, I'll make sure Miss Renard out there gets more than a fair shake at the hearing tomorrow.
This was even more unexpected than the initial offer had been, and too tempting to pass up. There may never be another chance to help Deborah. He owed her any chance he could give her. Kevin swallowed deeply and nodded as his shoulders slumped.
Okay, Captain. Let's hear my story.
This has been Ethan Eternal, Chapter 16, The Prisoners. For more information, please visit OneManAsylum.com.